We're always blessed to be able to assemble together anytime that we have opportunity to be able to worship God in spirit and truth. I'm thankful to be here, and I'm thankful that you are here. And I told you this morning that there are several points that you could include in a lesson as you think about what Jesus did. I just jotted down 21 things when I was thinking about this sermon. We covered 7 of them this morning, and then Greg let me know that he had to be out tonight and asked if I could speak in his place. We'll talk about 7 more. And that still leaves 7 more things that you could talk about. You just keep on going and going with a sermon like this. Be a good Bible class that you could do. Put some Bible class material together and you just preach it, and never run out of soul. As to think about the many things that Jesus did. Again, our scripture reading that Ray did a very good job this morning and tonight as we heard read a moment ago from John 21, verses 24 and 25, that Jesus did many things. And we know from the chapter earlier that not everything that Jesus did was written down. John penned that he supposed that the world itself could not contain the books that should be written if everything that Jesus did was written down. Isn't that impressive? And so Jesus did a lot of things. And so the first thing I want you to think about tonight is the fact that Jesus did the Father's will. We talked about this morning that Jesus, at the very tender age of 12, when he was left behind in Jerusalem, unknown to his parents, but when they found him, the Bible says that he was subject unto them. But Jesus was subject unto his heavenly Father. And in John chapter 4, verse 34, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And we know that he did the Father's will because he prayed and said, "I've finished the work that thou gavest me to do," John chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. And from the cross he was able to say, "In agony of which we cannot even begin to fathom, it is finished," John 19 and in verse 30. And so Jesus did the Father's will. And that's a good example for us because we ought to be interested, just as Jesus did the Father's will, to do our Heavenly Father's will also. But also, I'm impressed with the fact that Jesus promised and he kept his promise regarding the establishment of the Lord's church. I don't want to be a member of a church that I cannot read about in the Bible. And a lot of people in the religious world just think that that's unimportant. I was thinking before I got up here the many times that maybe you study with individuals and you talk about authority, or maybe you hear their statements concerning what they think about Bible authority. Oh no, that they'll just cast off. They say, "Oh no, it's just not important that we have an approved example for what we do. Oh, it's not important that we have that we arrive at authority as concerning a direct statement or a direct command. That's just not important." Or a necessary inference, an unavoidable conclusion. All those things are just, that's man's way of arriving at authority. Well, I'll tell you why they don't like that, and that is because you cast that aside, you can do just about anything you want to. When you don't have to have an approved example, a necessary inference, a forced conclusion, or a direct statement or a command for the things that you do, well, you just do whatever you want to do. But Jesus promised to establish his church. And why individuals would want to be a member of a church that you never read about in the Bible, that Jesus never promised to build, that he didn't purchase with his own blood, that there is no salvation in, is beyond me. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In Acts 2, 47, when men and women heard the gospel sermon on that occasion, the Bible says, "They that gladly received him were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls," Acts 2 and in verse 41. "And the Lord added them to the church of Christ." I never hesitate to say that, because it's the church that he purchased with his own blood, Acts chapter 2 and in verse 47. And so when you think about what Jesus did, he did the will of the Father. He promised to build his church, and in fact did build his church. And we can be members of it when we obey the gospel as revealed in the New Testament. But also I'm impressed with the fact that Jesus stood firm. In Matthew chapter 26, when he was being questioned by the Sanhedrin, this religious council, these religious leaders, to ask him point blank who he was. And in Matthew 26, verse 62, the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." If you were in his shoes, what would you have said? Oh, we like to think that we know how we would have responded, much like Peter when we think about, well, if you were in Peter's place and you were asked if you knew him or if you followed him, if you were with him, we like to think that we would have responded yes and not denied him. And hopefully we would have, but we don't know what our response would have been until we were in those situations. But verse 64, Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said." In other words, yes. "Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." What backbone. What courage the Lord had to stand there and to say, "As you have said, so it is. Thou sayest. And hereafter you'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, sitting on the right hand of power." Well, the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now we have heard, ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?" Now here's what they thought. They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." It took courage to stand there and have unwavering backbone to have stated, "As you have said." And so I'm impressed as you think about what Jesus did, that he stood firm, but also he sinned not. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest which is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." Watch these next three words. "Yet without sin." Jesus knew no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 22. We sin. The Bible says, in fact, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and in verse 23. But not so with Jesus. He sinned not. As you think about what Jesus did, I hope we're impressed with the fact from 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 23 that he committed himself unto God. In verse 23, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." That's an example for us that we need to surrender, to give ourselves. That's what the word commit means. To surrender, to yield, to submit oneself to another. And here the Bible says that Jesus committed himself unto God. And we ought to be willing to do the same. 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 19. "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." But also number 6, Jesus declared to be the Son of God. Many made that confession, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, when he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and he asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Jeremiah the Baptist, some say Elias or one of the prophets." And he said, "Who do you say that I am?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Peter confessed. In the book of John, chapter 6, verses 66 through 69, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And he turned to the 12 and said, Will ye also go away? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life, and we are sure and believe that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And I think about the confession that the eunuch made in Acts 8:37. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You know how Jesus declared that he was the Son of God? In the book of Romans, chapter 1 is the answer. Romans chapter 1 in verse 4. Well, we'll back up to verse 1 while we're there. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. The answer is in verse 4, but for the context, we'll look at verse 1 beginning. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now watch verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power. How did he do that? According to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And the next time someone says, how did Jesus declare to be the Son of God? You can say, without a shadow of doubt, with power, by the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1 and then verse 4. And so we don't have to doubt that. Because he declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. And it was prophesied in the Old Testament that his soul is not left in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And we've studied about that as well in the book of Acts and how that was applied to Jesus. Last point, number 7. As you think about what Jesus did, he shed his blood. I appreciate so very much this week that we've studied at least a couple of times this past week. The statement was made, may we never say that he spilt his blood. And sometimes maybe someone's waiting on the Lord's table and we think, and by the way, you do not pray in the prayer. I don't even think we might have mentioned this last week, I don't know. But you do not pray in the prayers, you're giving thanks for the bread and the fruit of the vine. God, we thank you for shedding your blood. God didn't shed his blood. His Son shed his blood. Matthew 28 and or 20 and then verse 28 and Matthew 26. The Father sent his Son and his Son shed his blood. But spill has the idea that you kind of just spill. I might spill a glass of milk at supper time by accident. There was no accident what Jesus did. He shed his blood on purpose. He went to the cross, shedding his blood so that we could have the remission of our sins. Matthew 26 through 28. He shed his blood in his death, John 19, 34 and 35, making our salvation possible. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, Hebrews 9, 22. And by his blood, we have the forgiveness for sins, Ephesians chapter 1 and then verse 7. I appreciate what Jesus did to you. There's 7 more points, 14 for the day. That's plenty enough to meditate on for at least this week. And we might look at some more next week. I appreciate what Jesus did for us, making our salvation possible. Should you be here tonight, not if you have opportunity to obey. God's plan of salvation has not changed from this morning. It never will change. The same thing that made folks a Christian in the New Testament is the same thing that will forever make one a Christian. By hearing the gospel, Romans 10, 17, believing it, Hebrews 11, 6, repenting of your sins, Acts 3, 19, confessing your faith in Christ that he is the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and being immersed, baptized, buried in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and then verse 38. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord and you went back out into the ways of the world, but you want to come home and start anew. You can do that by repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Acts 8 and 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Don't delay. Come right now.